1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to continue preaching through this one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58, the very last verse of the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. From this verse, we have chosen our theme for 2009, abounding in the work of the Lord. We want this verse to touch our hearts. We want to be changed by it. We want to examine it, learn it, live it. And so we're going to spend some time on it during the month of January. Let's stand to our feet. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. I'm going to read it to you. And then when I get done, I'll have us all read it together. Let me read it to you first. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Ready? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, if we could just live this verse out. It's tough, Lord. We're so weak sometimes and so easily distracted. And Lord, many, many times we don't maintain a good mindset and a right focus in our lives. Forgive us for our frailties, Lord. Thank you for remembering that we're but dust. But Lord, in our hearts, we yearn for this type of life. I believe every Christian really in their heart wants this type of life. Sometimes we don't always understand how to pull it off. But Lord, here you've set the bar high, you've raised the standard, you've challenged your children, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to learn, Lord, how to be successful in living out 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. So Lord, as we go into it a little farther this morning, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts in a powerful way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Last Sunday, I preached a message that focused on the first part of this verse. We learned that Paul loved the people of Corinth. Despite their shortcomings, carnality, and confusion, they were brethren. Paul called them beloved brethren. Having spent 15 chapters teaching, correcting, reproving, and rebuking, he now challenges this congregation to become steadfast and unmovable. Steadfast and unmovable. Last week I explained that the word steadfast means to sit or to settle, figuratively to choose a seat. We then learned that the word unmovable conveys the idea of staying, remaining steadfast, or refusing to move from the seat you've chosen. Steadfast, choose a seat, unmovable, refuse to move from that seat. And I'm not talking about stubbornness here. I'm talking about basing your decision on Bible principles, settling some things, and then, you know what? Not going back and revisiting them or allowing yourself to be talked easily from what the Bible's convinced you of. Now, we're going to focus this morning on the two words that follow, steadfast and unmovable, in our text verse. These two words are always abounding, always abounding. And these two words will be the subject of this morning's message. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's examine these two words, always abounding. First of all, and be patient with me here, for those of you that are pretty good in English or study the English language, you'll enjoy this. For the rest of you, just nod like you understand everything I'm about to say and trust me on this. Be ye steadfast. Now that word be, no, that little phrase be, I want you to look at the verse for just a second. Therefore, my beloved brethren, what this is saying is be ye steadfast. But it's also saying be ye unmovable. But it's also saying be ye always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that be ye is connected to steadfast. Be ye is connected to unmovable. See the commas there? They don't repeat the little phrase be ye, but it's saying be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable, be ye always abounding. Be ye steadfast. What that's saying is you be steadfast. Now stop and think with me for a minute. Be, the word be there, when it's connected to steadfast, it's a state of being verb followed by a predicate adjective. It's saying you be this, be this. It's not telling you to do anything, it's telling you to be something. Be steadfast. Be unmovable is saying you be unmovable. Again, it's a state of being verb followed by a predicate adjective. It's not telling you to do anything, it's telling you to be something. Like you would tell your kids, be sweet. And then you tell them 5 minutes later, be sweet. And you tell them 5 minutes, be sweet. You tell them to do anything, you're telling them to be something. So be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable. State of being verbs followed by predicate adjectives. But notice this. Now we have be ye always abounding. You be always abounding. Now, here the word be becomes a helping verb, part of a verb phrase. Be no longer stands by itself. It's connected to an action verb. Be abounding. Then God throws in the adverb always. Be ye always abounding. How many of you understood what I just said? How many have no idea what I just said? Amen. I appreciate that. Good. What the point of all this is to tell you that God wants you to be certain things, but he also wants you to do certain things. You see, it's not enough to say I'm a good Christian because I am these things or I have these characteristic traits. It's great and good and important to have the right characteristic traits, but at the end of the day, God wants you to take those characteristic traits and get them into action and do something in the work of the Lord. Be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable, be ye always abounding in the work of the Lord. What a command. Think about that. Be ye always abounding in the work of the Lord. What a challenge. What a mandate. And if we achieve it, what a life. The Bible's telling us that we are to achieve a state of being in our Christian life. This state of being is described as steadfast, unmovable. But then the Word of God adds quickly that this state of being should produce in us a course of consistent and aggressive action. When I taught you last week that these words are talking about sitting and settling, that's talking about sitting and settling, figuratively settling some things in our heart, but it's not talking about being lulled into inactivity. This command, this verse is telling us, yes, be steadfast, be unmovable, but once you attain those character traits, then be productive, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now let's look at these two words, and we're just going to slow down and break it down. How many of you are glad that all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable? I say this a lot to our people, but you know what? I mean this in 2009. If you want to read through the Bible in a year, I think it's a great goal. I think, to be honest with you, every Christian probably ought to do that. But I'm also for slowing down and studying the Word of God. And we blow by some phrases, and sometimes we don't even take time to think about what they're saying. God has commanded us, be ye always abounding. Would God command us to do something that's it's impossible for us to do? He said, be ye always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now let's examine these two words. First of all, always. What that means is all, in all manner, always, daily, ever, every way, to everyone, thoroughly, whatsoever, and whosoever we come in contact with. This is a powerful word, especially when it's connected with the word abounding. So God's telling us there's some things we ought to do all the time. We ought to be always involved in. Now, it's not so much saying in this verse talking about always as in you always have to breathe. But what it's saying is this ought to be a daily thing as we are given opportunity with the people that we come in contact with, as opportunities and doors open, we ought to be quick, aggressive, to abound into the work of the Lord. That word abounding, boy, it's an exciting word. It doesn't just mean abounding. If you look it up in your Greek dictionary, you'll find that the word that's attached to this is a word called superabound. That's the word you'll find. The first word that follows the Greek word, it says to superabound. Now think about that. Be in excess. To excel. To be better. To exceed. to increase, to redound, to go over and above. So you know what God's saying is this to his children. Listen, I want you to be steadfast. I want you to be settled. I want you to be unmovable in some areas. But I also want you to always, daily, every opportunity, every minute that you can, in every way you can, to everybody you can, I want you to not just dabble a little in the work of the Lord. I want you to superabound. I want you to excel. I want you to increase. I want you to be better and do more than you've ever done in your entire life. That's the challenge of this verse. Now think about that. What is God saying in this verse? He challenges us to settle our beliefs and become unmovable in our commitment to them. Settle them in our heart. Then he quickly adds that we're to be ever, always, all the time, daily, in every way, to everyone, superabounding, excelling, increasing, redounding, in an over and above manner, increasing always in the work of the Lord. Man alive. That sounds like an exciting way to live. What did God intend those two words to bring into our Christian life? By the way, let me just give you some qualifying verses so that you know that God doesn't just say that in this verse. I'll read them to you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. That's the first part. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So he said it's great that you're rooted and built up and established. But he said, then I want you to take off and abound. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now think about that. Paul said, listen, we came and we brought you the gospel, and we saw God change your life, and we see you saw you got saved, and we established a church there. But there came a time when we had to leave. But listen, we didn't want you just to stay where we left you. We didn't want you just to maintain what you have. He said in this verse to the Thessalonians, so ye would abound more and more. Now wait a minute, folks. I'm doing justice here to what the Bible says. We cannot become satisfied with where we are in our Christian life. 2008 and whatever I was and whatever I did, it's not good enough for 2009. It's not. It's sure not okay to go backwards. But it's not right to stay the same. God said this, I want you to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now let me give you some thoughts on this morning. I want to take those two words, always abounding, as we've carefully now examined their usage, examined their definitions, given you some qualifying verses. Now let me just give you some thoughts on these two words. Number one, always abounding. That little phrase, always abounding, challenges us to become what I'm going to use this term, 24/7 servants of the Lord. 24/7 servants of the Lord. What's that mean? That means in every waking hour and every waking day, God says, I want you to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. The word always tells us when, and the word abounding tells us what. The word always speaks to quantity, and the word abounding speaks to quality. The word always tells us to be ever abounding, always alert for an opportunity to contribute to the work of the Lord. And by the way, don't miss this. It destroys the notion that we are to schedule small, specific chunks of time to the work of God, but the rest of the time we are permitted to live our own life and do our own thing and forget what the main thing is. Don't miss that. Let's destroy that notion this morning. Listen, well, Brother Jerry, I serve the Lord and I make time for God. And you see, I set aside Sunday morning and some of you Sunday night, some of you Wednesday night, and also on this particular other weekday, I set aside a little bit of time to be involved in the work of the Lord. Well, that's not what God's asked you to do. By the way, thank you for doing that. But that's not what God's asked you to do. He wants you to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. It destroys the notion that we're to schedule small specific chunks of time to the work of God, but instead tells us that we should daily find ways to contribute to the work of the Lord. The word always in this verse teaches us the importance of impacting the world for the Lord in our everyday life. Well, that's exciting. Now, let me just have you think for a minute. Tomorrow's Monday. All right? I don't want to distract you unnecessarily, and I'll have to bring you back in a minute. But let me just ask you right now to think about tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. By the way, here at the church on Monday, we have no regularly scheduled soul winning opportunities at the church. We don't have a work day scheduled for tomorrow. We don't have a nursing home service scheduled for tomorrow. There's no special revival services planned. Yet God in His Word has challenged you and me to abound in the work of the Lord tomorrow on Monday. He said, always be abounding in the work of the Lord. That includes tomorrow. But Brother Jerry, there's nothing going on here where there ought to be something going on in your life. There ought to be something going on as far as you and I contributing in some way to the work that God has given us to do and the work of the Lord. Now, I think that we can still witness tomorrow. Well, even though we're not going to have a scheduled soul winning program, we can witness tomorrow. I think we can encourage someone tomorrow. I think we can of our own, by the way. Hey, here's an idea, man. We don't have a work day scheduled tomorrow, but I guarantee you, I'm not going to get mad at you if you show up and do something around the church. Amen. We can impact our Sunday school students tomorrow. We can impact our bus kids. No, Brother Jerry, you don't understand. That's Saturday and Sunday. God says it ought to be always. Now, what I'm trying to do is open your mind to a new way of living, where we stop this idea that, well, Sunday's the Lord's Day. And by the way, it is. I'm a little aggravated at what Christians are doing and how they're stealing the Lord's Day. I don't expect the world to reverence the Lord's Day, but good night. Well, Sunday's the Lord's Day, and Wednesday night's prayer meeting, and Saturday morning's soul winning, and those are the times that I work, do the work of the Lord. Well, the Bible says you're to be always, not just always, always abounding, going above board, doing more and more for the work of the Lord, and that's supposed to be a way of life. So tomorrow morning, you know what? Before you check in with your boss at wherever you work, you might want to check in with your boss before you leave for work. You might want to report for duty. You might want to punch in for the day and say, Lord, if I get my Bible right, you know what? You want me to be involved in the work of God today. That means there's some things you want me to accomplish for your kingdom today. There's people you want me to influence today. There's people you want me to witness to today. Listen, maybe there was somebody not in your Sunday school class today that used to be there. Well, what's wrong with going out on Monday and seeing them? What's wrong with picking the phone up at lunch break at work and making a couple phone calls? Listen, folks, if we have our mind every day on this thought, how can I be better? How can I go beyond? How can I go above and over my involvement in 2008? How can I do more than I've ever done for the Lord before? How can I come the closest to living out 1 Corinthians 15:58? On Monday, not on Sunday, on Monday. Are you getting this? I feel like I'm a John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness. Are you awake? What a way to live. What a way to live. This whole idea that God's interested in seeing some productivity on some days outside of Sunday and Wednesday. And Saturday bus calling and soul winning. What a way to live. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I took Brother Ron to Indy here a couple months ago, and on the way back, he was telling this to his mom when I made a visit in the home, but he said, looked over his mom, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Jerry's always busy. He's always doing something. Brother Ron drove. By the way, that built my faith right there. He was driving down the road 70, and I was over there, and you know what? When I know I'm going to take a trip with somebody, by the way, we spend a lot of time fellowship. You know why? Because that's part of the work of the Lord, too. Getting to invest in Him and getting to build a friendship with Him and having Him encourage my heart. That's good stuff too. But on the way home, I pulled the cell phone out. I pulled visitors' cards out. And I was calling this guy that's come and this lady that had come to our church and checking in on this teenager that I hadn't seen for a while and making this call and that call. Listen, folks, that ought to be the way we live. I'm not saying that I'm the prototype for this. I'm not saying that I'm doing it nearly as much as I ought to. I'm just saying if we could just change our mindset and realize that there are 1,000 ways every day that we can make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ if we just use the little unscheduled times of our day. If we'd understand that those casual contacts are not sometimes casual contacts, they're divine appointments. Can I say something to you? I have more soul winning opportunities and opportunities to witness and share the gospel outside of our scheduled soul winning time here than I have inside our schedules. Listen, we've got to be careful. We get in this mindset, well, Brother Jerry, I'm a soul winner. I mean, I'm part of teen soul winning. I mean, from 3:30 till 6 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, I abound in the work of the Lord. Well, God didn't say. This verse, I think I've read it right. It doesn't say from 3:30 till 6 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, abound in the work. It says always. Always. How can we put our soul winner's hat on and then we take it back off? How can we come in at 9:30 on Saturday morning, we put our soul winner hat on, and at 11 o'clock as we're driving home, we throw it in the back seat of the car and we don't even look for it again until... Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? Man, what the congregation can do, what the people of God could do if we just decided that we'd always abound in the work of the Lord. There's people tomorrow that you ought to invite to church. There's people tomorrow that you ought to witness to. There's brothers and sisters in Christ that you could call up and be on the phone with for 60 seconds and actually absolutely make their day and be an encouragement to them and let them know that you love them and you're praying for them. And if there's anything you can do for them, let them know. And folks, it doesn't take a lot of time to be involved in the work of the Lord. We've got to just get the right mindset, the always abounding mindset. So number one, always abounding challenges us to be 24/7 servants of the Lord all the time. Let me give you another thought. Think about this. Always abounding challenges us to refuse to settle for being average. Mediocrity. Always abounding challenges us to refuse to settle for average. Pastor Lonnie Mattingly taught me this years ago. He said, there are builders and there are maintainers. A growing church must have builders, a builder's mentality in the pulpit and in the pew. Now, folks, listen to me. That word abounding, did you think about it? That word abounding is telling us to superabound. Always abounding challenges us to refuse to settle for mediocrity. We have, let me say this. Boy, it needs to be said out loud. We've come to the point where we have celebrated mediocrity in Christianity today. I mean, I could hand you books that extols the virtues of doing little or nothing for God. We've come to the point in our society that most people are more than happy to underachieve or at best just be average. Yet God challenges us, tells us in this verse, that when it comes to the work of the Lord, we should abound to superabound in quantity and quality, to be in excess, to excel, to be better, to exceed, to increase, to redound, to go over and above. It doesn't sound like God wants us just to stay the same and be average. It doesn't sound like that to me at all. Now that means, Sunday school teacher, that whatever God used you to accomplish in 2008, you ought to abound in 2009. That means, bus worker, whatever God allowed you to accomplish in 2008, you need to abound in 2009. That means that the walk that I have with Almighty God, no matter how sweet it was in 2008, it ought to abound in 2009. I think the death toll on Christianity today is the fact that we, many of us, have reached a plateau and we think that we've arrived and we're satisfied where we're at and we refuse to challenge ourselves, let alone let anybody stand in a pulpit and challenge us. God help us.
Several years ago, there was a camp preacher that I listened to, and he got up, and there was several hundred teenagers there, and that camp preacher got up, and he said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "How many of you with our heads bowed and our eyes closed?" And I was at the back, and I do what most preachers do when we're with teens. I peek, you know. "How many of you teenagers," he said, "you would describe your life as red hot? You are on fire. You are abounding in the work of the Lord. You are on fire for God." Maybe just a few kids raised their hand. He said, "How many of you would say, 'Preacher, I'm ashamed to say it, but I'll be 100% honest with you. I'm ice cold. I'm dead as a doornail. I'm saved yet by fire. I mean, I'm horribly backslid. I'm doing nothing for God.' Would you raise your hand?" And again, to their credit, just a few kids raised their hand. At least they were honest. Then he said this. He said, "How many of you would say that somewhere between hot on fire for God and ice cold dead on God, for God, somewhere in the middle of that, that's where you live?" And I looked in there. I'm not talking about folks, bad churches. I'm talking about good churches. I'm talking about good youth groups. And I'd say about 90% of the young people in that camp raised their hand and said, "You know what? I'm in between those two things." And I sat back there with tears running down my eyes, and all I could think of was Revelation chapter 3. "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen and faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, being thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." We've got to the point where in Christianity, even in independent fundamental Baptist churches, I mean, if there's a young couple that begins to get on fire for God, I see members of the congregation rushing to them, trying to settle them down. Stop trying to settle them down. Teenager comes in our youth group and begins to get on fire for God. We've got to run over with our buckets of cold water and try to douse him. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because somebody on fire shows us how little we're doing and how we've lost our passion. This always abounding. Boy, this is good for the church. I want you to get as excited about this as I'm excited. I want you to get this as well as I've got it. We have surrendered to the idea that cruise control Christianity is the way to go. And you know what God says? Put the pedal to the metal. We've just got this idea that, you know what, you just kind of find this comfortable spot and you fit in and you agree to do so much, and then, you know what, you just cruise your way into eternity. You just kind of hang on and wait for the rapture. Well, I can't find that in this verse. I don't find that much in the Bible. What I'm saying is this, folks, I understand that we're all in a growth process, and it's a growth in grace, but listen, it's growth. It's supposed to be growth. And that means whatever I was challenged by the Lord to do 2008, that's not good enough. It's not the time, folks, to put it in reverse. It's time to put it in forward. It's time to say, you know what? Am I abounding in soul winning? Am I abounding in ministry opportunities? Am I abounding in service? Am I abounding in doing my part as a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the giving and the working and the sweating and the crying and the praying and everything that we need to do around here at this church? Am I abounding in that? Where was I last year? And where does God want me to go this year? Boy, that's exciting to me. Always abounding challenges us to be 24/7 servants of the Lord. Always abounding challenges us to refuse to settle for mediocrity. Let me give you this thought. Always abounding challenges us to be ambitious in the work of the Lord. Now let me define that for you. Always abounding challenges us to be ambitious in the work of the Lord. I'm not talking about personal ambition. I'm not talking about trying to make a big name for ourselves or for our church. I'm talking about becoming ambitious in the work of Almighty God. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to set some goals for yourself in 2009. I want you to, listen, get it out of cruise control. I want you to say, this is what I did or didn't do in 2008, but you know what? I don't want to be there, and I don't want to just increase a little. I want to superabound in 2009. I have high goals for myself, and I've got high goals for our church. I don't tell you a lot of the things that I dream because I'd scare you to death. I mean it. But I mean, all the time God visits me. All the time God challenges me. We are doing something for our Missions Emphasis Month, and I got online and I found it a very reasonable price where we could buy world flags, the flags of each nation. We ordered a flag for every country that we send somebody to or some support to reach that country for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come in here on the first Sunday in February, those flags will be hung on this wall and on this wall here. And I ordered those flags, and I got them in the mail, and I opened them up, and I laid them all out, and I looked at all of them. But even when I'm doing that, by the way, I think we ordered 24 flags. And even while I'm doing that, you say, Brother Jerry, what do you think? What do you feel? I'll tell you, I'm just not cut out this way where I say, wow, man, isn't that, I mean, there's part of that I have. Isn't it great that we have? But it's always, you know what would be neat? You know, be awesome. We're hovering right around the 50 missionary mark, and we'll I think by the end of February exceed that and support over 50 missionary outreaches, both here at home and across around the globe. But every time I get to a plateau, I don't say good. Cruise control time. There's always something inside of me that says, you know what? This is great that we ordered 24 flags, but wouldn't it have been great if we could have ordered 30? Wouldn't it be great? I wonder how many years before we'll be in 50 different countries. How long would it take us to get in 50 different countries of the world and influence 50 different countries and help a missionary in 50 different countries? That's the way my mind works. That's the way I want your mind to work. That's the always abounding mentality. Always abounding. We have I ordered a certain number of state flags. We ordered an Indiana state flag. We'll hang it up here. You know why? Because we support several ministries in the state of Indiana. There's a Montana flag we ordered. You know why? Because we're getting ready to send a couple to start a church in Montana. There's a Virginia flag that's going to hang in here. You know why? Because we're supporting a young couple, the Townsley's granddaughter and her husband, in Virginia to start a church. We ordered a Kentucky flag because I know some of you don't realize this, but we have two different radio stations in Kentucky that put on every single day the radio broadcast that is aired here locally. My radio broadcast is broadcast in two different states, two different areas of Kentucky into Kentucky. And you know, that's influence. That's a chance for us to touch. That's a chance for us to reach. And I'm laying these flags out, and I get this crazy thought. Why not all 50? Why not all 50? Why would it be? Listen, I mean, it almost is un-American not to, I decided. It's unpatriotic not to. If I want to influence 50 countries around the world, why can't Blessed Hope influence 50 states, all 50 states? Find some church planter or some ministry in every single state. Say, Brother Jerry, are these things going to happen this year? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I could dream about it. I'm glad I'm still hungry for it. I'm glad I have a superabound mentality. And listen, are we going to get there this year? Probably not. But what if in 10 years we are there? What if in 5 years God lets us to do something like this? Are you listening to me, folks? Are you getting this? We've got to get away from this. Hey, you know what? Things are fine. Let's not rock the boat. Hey, let's rock the boat. Matter of fact, let's get out of the boat and walk on the water. Half the church is asleep in the boat. Come on. Half the church is in America. 90% of the church is America. I mean, I'm telling you what, if you walked in the back door of it and screamed hallelujah, you'd wake up 90% of the congregation. We're sleeping. Jesus is at the door. The signs of the times are everywhere. I mean, Gabriel's tuning up his trumpet. You know what we're doing? We're sleeping. We've got it on cruise control. Always abounding challenges us to be ambitious in the work of the Lord in missions. We're going to start this young adult class. I was down there talking to Derek about it, and he was asking me, and of course he's getting ready to start a church, so he's always pumping me for ideas and whatnot. And I said, Brother Derek, I think what I'll end up having is I think I'll start the class and I'll have somewhere around 25, 30 young adults. And he said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, the first thing is I've already decided that the first Sunday that I have my class, I'm going to set the date. I'm going to challenge them on the 1 year anniversary of the starting of that class. I want to have twice as many as we had on the very first Sunday. You say, well, Brother Jerry, why do you think that way? Oh, because I want to be a big shot. Because I want everybody to brag about Brother Jerry and what. No, it's because I have an always abounding mentality. Amen. Now, Sunday school teachers, you know what? If you've never gone back and showed up here on an off day and opened that. And by the way, you can open. I don't want anybody to get in there, but you can open that behind the information desk. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you can slide that door. You've got the class records for an entire year. Do you even know what you averaged last year? Do you even care what you averaged last year? Well, it's not about numbers. Every one of those numbers is a soul. Is there anything burning you? Can you teach the same five kids for 6 months straight and never once be bothered to the fact that you never seen a new face? And the closest thing you come to it is, well, you know what? It'd sure be nice if them bus workers get busy and bring me some more kids. Is that the mentality? I'm just saying there's got to be some. How come we can set goals when it comes to how much more money we want to make next year? Try to pull it off a little. There we go. How come we can set goals about an addition that we want to build on our house? And by the way, I'm not against that. Some of you got the plans doing that. I didn't find out about it. I'm not trying to discourage. I'm just saying. How come we can dream big dreams in everything that has to do with this world and dream little piddly dreams when it comes to the things of God? What this verse is saying is this. It's saying superabound. It's saying super excel. It's saying super increase. It's saying, man, get excited, get a vision, and decide what you can do. I'm going to take a trip with one of our men this month. I'll go ahead and tell you. We're going to go down to Milford, Ohio. We're going to take a look at bearing precious seed. It may not happen everything this year or next year, but I'm already laying groundwork. There was a little church that ran less than we did. It runs less than we did. And I got a little clip about them in the Bearing Precious Seed magazine, the newsletter. And it said that this little church that runs less than us did, less than we did. You know what they just did? They last month sent out their 1 millionth copy of a portion of Scripture, either John or Romans, New Testament, or a whole Bible, that church raised money for, put together themselves, and shipped to missionaries. One little church, littler than the one at Blessed Old Baptist Church, have in the time they've been doing it, supplied the mission field with over 1 million copies of the Word of God. Say, Brother Jerry, you need to stop reading stuff. I probably do. But I'm sitting there thinking, did not our hearts burn within us? And I thought to myself, you know what? We've got some folks around here. We've had some dear folks. And you know what? They can't go out like they used to. And they can't hit doors like they used to. And they can't do door-to-door like they used to. But you know what? They could come over here and they could staple portions of the Bible together and pack them up and get them ready for missionary. I mean, I just want to do something. I'm not trying to figure out how to get more time off. I'm not trying to figure out how to do less. I'm not trying to figure out how to slow down.
Yes, sir.
Always abounding. Always abounding. Say, Brother Jerry, do you expect all of us to do all of this? No, all of us can't do all of it, but somebody in here can take a piece of this vision and say, I'll make that happen with God by God's grace, Brother Jerry. I can make this part happen. Nobody probably understands the burden that I carry for my home state of Indiana. I want God. I've asked God. This is closet prayer, and I'm just going to share you a little bit of closet prayer with you. But I am asking God to send a revival to southern Indiana. I'd like to see God sweep across southern Indiana. I'd like to see the churches that are in southern Indiana get on fire. I'd like to help plant some churches and encourage some churches that are already there. Folks, listen to me. I can't look at the map without weeping. Say, are we doing some things? Yes, but I want to do more. I want to set high goals for myself and our church in soul winning. One of the first things I did this week, this This year, when the calendar switched over, I went in my office and I typed out my entire 7-day schedule, and I began to look at it, and I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to move some things around, or I'm going to streamline some things, but in 2009, I'm going to personally, with this fist right here, go soul winning more than I've ever gone in my life. You know why? Because I don't want to rust away till Jesus comes. I want to go to another level. I look at our bus ministry, and I'm so thankful for our bus ministry. But I'll tell you what, I can't walk back there in the foyer as I'm praying down Missionary Hall, and I come out of there and I look at that mat back there and I see that circle and I think to myself, you know what, there's more kids out there that needs to reach than we're reaching. There's new routes that need to be started. There's areas that we're hardly touching, that maybe we're just barely touching. There's more that can be done. I'm telling you, folks, this is the honest truth. And I've got the oversight. I know we can do it, and I know we should do it. But within 2 years, we ought to double our bus ministry. Within 2 years, we ought to double what we're doing in our bus ministry. We've got the personnel to do it. We've got the facilities to do it. We've got the workers to do it. And you know what? All we got to do is just get some more laborers in that particular field and say, you know what? I'll give part of my life to see that that happens. We could do that. We do other things. And I know some of it involves technology with the website and the radio and everything that God allows me to do and has a part of. I'm always saying, how can I see that this makes more of an impact? God, how can you multiply this? What can I do differently? What can I do better? I'm so thankful for what the church did in the last 2 years in putting up that building out there. We've got a few odds and ends that needs finished up. And by the way, listen, men, listen to me. We need to finish the outside of that building. Thank you for that one amen. We need to finish the outside of that building. I said we need to stop being satisfied pulling in the church, looking over there and saying, well, I wonder when Pastor Jerry's going to get that rest of that cement poured. You know, the Bible says that the man looketh on the outward appearance and God looketh on the heart. You know, that building's a perfect picture of that. We had to, and we did the right thing, and we had to at some point break off the outside and get the inside ready so we could start school. But you know what? Most of the people that drive by here, they don't see the inside of the building. They see the outside of that building. And it's a shame and a wrong testimony to leave an unfinished building like that, that people are driving by. That's an accusatory finger towards our God. Now, I know it's going to be in the single digits this week, and I know that we're going to have to pick our times, but what I'm saying is we've got to stop with this mentality of, well, we got it pretty much done, it's good enough, it's not good enough. I need people showing up on a work day. I need people saying, I'm going to abound in the work of the Lord. I'm going to show up and roll my sleeves up. Hey, if I can paint, you can paint. If I can dig a ditch, you can dig a ditch. If I can work, you can work. This is what we're talking about. This is what it takes. Our chapel ministry. I drive over to Bloomfield. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God's doing some things in your pastor's heart. I want that ministry to superabound in 2009. 2009. What am I saying? What am I saying? Look up here and let me give it to you. What am I saying? I'm saying if we really get it. 1 Corinthians 15:50, 15:58. Settle some things. Steadfast, unmovable. Settle some things in our heart. Settle some things in our heart. Believe what the Bible says and don't be talked back out of it. That type of solid beliefs and solid convictions leads to opportunities to always abound. And I believe with all my heart, and there's ministries here that we didn't mention that we could have, but I believe with all my heart that God in 2009 wants this church to discover that big word that's on the top of the banner back there at the back, abounding, abounding. Not maintaining, abounding. Not being somewhat involved, abounding. Not picking at, abounding. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd teach the church something this morning. Help us, Lord, to get a vision. I don't understand it, Lord. I don't understand it. As I drive by churches all across this community, and there's just such a settledness and
a satisfaction with just doing nothing but opening a door for an hour on Sunday and shutting it, and that's pretty much it. God, give us a vision. God, give us a vision. Lord, my mind just doesn't work these ways. I pray, Lord, in the congregation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there'd be a stirring this morning. Give us a vision. Give us a vision. Help us, Lord, to take a hard look at our lives in every area and say, Lord, what did I do last year? And what did you let me do last year? And what could be done this year? Lord, don't let us stay the same. Help us to set new goals. Help us to get a fresh vision. Help us to ask you to, in our walk with you, in our purity of life, in our involvement with the work of God, help us in all these areas just to say, Lord, I don't want to just maintain. I want to abound. I want to abound. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You can't abound in the work of the Lord till you become a child of God. On these Sunday mornings, I'm specifically in January choosing to preach to Christians. But I don't want to close the service without saying to each and every one of you that's visiting, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you really have never lived. I mean that, you've never lived. God in your life gives you a purpose to live. God in your life gives you something bigger than yourself to be involved in and with. And we're all sinners and we all have that problem. There's only one cure. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Do you know for sure you go to heaven? And if you don't, we have people that are trained and that love people and that would take the Bible and share with you this morning how you can know that for sure. And once you become a Christian, God gives you a passion for life and a new direction and a new beginning. And what a way to live. If you're here this morning without Christ as your Savior, when we give our invitation in just a minute, we'll begin to sing a song or have the piano player play. If you've never been saved and you'd like to be, if you just step from your seat, come up here to the front. Brother Reiser, our assistant pastor, is waiting. He'll get somebody to take the Bible, show you how to be saved. Let's stand to our feet with our head bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, bless this time of decision-making amongst your people. If there be one here without Christ, help them to be saved this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.